Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast. I'm Ray. Shall we see who we've got in the hub with us today? Let's just knock on the door. Excellent sound effects there. Opening the door. Oh, look, we've got Lisa and Gary. Say hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Say hello, Gary.
Hello.
Right, enough of that nonsense. We're going stir crazy. Let's get on with the show. It's kind of inevitable that we were going to end up talking about coronavirus. And I've got no issue with a cast going out that we've just recorded where we pretty much talk exclusively about it. But it's probably the only time we'll talk exclusively about it and not about other stuff. One of the things I did want to talk about was our initial experiences of social distancing and stuff. For me, I've had loads and loads of interesting conversations over the last week with regard to it. So for me, with regards to work, we've been identified as being essential. And so what we've had to do as a project manager, I'm obviously accountable for deploying people safely to the work site. And we've been doing a lot of work, frantic work over the last week and a half, assessing all of the activities we do and having to ensure that we can maintain social distancing within the workforce at all times. And that's, there's some work that we've just had to suspend because there's just no way of doing it. But actually, it is really, a lot of it is down to discipline. If you get two people that are sort of working together, they're fixing something to something, it's very, very easy. You know, if one person's working at it and the other person stood 2 meters away, if they see that, oh, they need a hand just to hold something, it's so easy to step forward and do that. And actually, one of the biggest challenges we've had to have is to encourage people to sort of, almost before they do any action, to stop and think for a second, am I going to come within 2 meters of this person? Because it's, as I say, it's so behaviorally ingrained in us to not think about that it really is a change of psychology. And again, it's going to be very, very interesting beyond this to sort of analyze how we've managed it and maybe what we could do going forward to make these things a little bit more natural. But it's been pretty, at times it's been pretty fractious, and there's always the worry as a project manager that, you know, are you absolutely doing the very best for people in terms of their health and well-being? And, you know, that's always a question you're going to have in your head. But, I've been amazed at the ingenuity as well of people in terms of some of the things that they've come up with as ways of just getting around silly little things that you wouldn't even think about. Like when we do a briefing, yeah, it's very easy to sort of stand 2 meters apart from each other, especially when it's not raining, you can stand outside. But then when you've got a sign to say you've received that briefing, you know, making sure that people use their own pen rather than somebody else's. Just silly little stuff like that that 4 weeks ago we didn't even have to think about. So that's been quite an interesting thing for me over the last week. How about you guys? Lisa, how's it been going down at the workshop?
It's been mixed. Last week, I think the last 2 weeks have been the hardest since it really started kicking off. And I think the week before last was... people just didn't know what to do for the best. And I think before any guidance really came out as to what help they were going to get as business people, people were really struggling because it became a bit of a moral battle because they wanted to do the right thing and they wanted to be in, but they had businesses to keep afloat, and for a lot of them they had staff to sort out. I think this week's been a bit easier because the majority of people are not there. So the only ones we've got coming in now are those that are essential workers. So we need to provide a service still for them so that they can continue their work. So it's literally just been me there upstairs in the building to kind of keep it open and deal with Royal Mail because services like that are still continuing. Yeah, I think the hardest bit has just been just seeing some of the people completely change. Because they're being forced to make decisions that they never thought they'd have to make. They don't know what's going to happen with their businesses. And I think hopefully the next couple of weeks, they'll be able to start looking at things a bit differently and maybe start using this time to think, okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? And yeah, just use that time to have the time to stop and take a bit of a breath and think, okay, what do we really want it to look like moving forward? If we've got a business to go back to, what can we change? Yeah, almost making that use of time as business owners to do it. I think we've been sending lots of stuff out to everybody, including tenants, about what they're entitled to and all this sort of stuff. I think I probably need to do a bit more work directly with the business owners in this coming week. To support them through decisions that they're going to have to make. But we also know we're not, it's, as a workshop, we could potentially lose tenants because of what happens to their business. We really don't want that. So it's what can we do as the workshop as a whole to support businesses moving forward as well. So it's kind of a bit of planning on our part as to what immediate help can we give, which, to be fair, at the moment, it is just about sharing whatever information we've got, whatever ideas are coming through, sending stuff through that either those sort of as owners they can send on to their staff or that we can just share with everybody as a blanket thing. And actually, a lot of that is around stuff that keeps coming through around the mental health. It's sending out information about free exercise, well-being stuff that's being put out for free on the internet. Don't know, anything that you just feel is going to be a bit of help at the moment and help people sort of change their mindsets. And yeah, top tips on working from home. I've had quite a lot of that come through from tenants that I'm going to start sharing this week. We're going to start tomorrow with like a Meet Monday email so that I start introducing tenants to all the other tenants as well. Because we can't meet and do networking and stuff, which has been organised, we're going to start doing more of that virtually. So people are starting to send me info about what they do and all that sort of stuff so that I can send that out. Because you just don't know at times like this, someone might offer a service that someone else can make use of. It might open up opportunities. I think at the moment it's just about keeping communication open with them. I think that's probably key, and if they're really stuck, making sure they know they can just pick up the phone and have a conversation about whatever's bothering them, whether that be making rent payments or whatever. It's
how have you found the like home life and stuff now that you can't go out razzing it up every night?
Oh, so I've quite enjoyed it. Yeah, it's been weird because my Billy moved in with my mum and dad. When the announcement came out last Monday that you were to literally like lock down for the next 3 weeks, whatever, he's chosen to go and stay at my mum and dad's. So he was literally like, I'm packing my bags, you're dropping me off. So I haven't had him at home for the last week nearly.
Wow.
Which, yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just quiet. So I'm just kind of making the most of it because I've never, ever lived on my own. So
have
I'm just kind of
locks?
Using... No, I haven't done that bit. It made sense for him. To be fair, he's got... At least when he's there, he's got my mum and dad. He's got the dog. He's got a really good garden. He's got gym equipment, which is his main concern. Mm. He's got company. And with me still being... due in at work, he would have been at home on his own all day, and that would have, yeah, I don't think he would have coped very well with that. So
and like you say, you're going to need to, you will find out new things about yourself. Like you said, you've sort of never lived on your own before. You'll find out things about yourself that annoy you, and you'll find out things about yourself that you really enjoy that you never knew before.
Yeah. Well, I did really struggle last week, this beginning of it, but I think it was the effect of everything going on at work. And just, I'm used to fixing things and problem solving and all the rest of it. And I just didn't feel I was able to do any of that last week.
Yeah.
So I think, a few things came out the end of the week. So weirdly, I did a workout. Was it Friday morning? The first one of the week. And actually, it made all the difference to my whole day, was the fact I'd got up and done some proper exercise and stuff. So I know I've got to keep that up, just for my own well-being, I think, at the moment. But it actually made Friday a much better day than I was expecting to have. And I think, it just kind of put me in a better mood. But, it will be. I'm pretty good at finding stuff to do. Like, my own company doesn't bother me, so...
How about you, Gary?
I work from home anyway, so that working from home routine is... have been the last sort of 6 years anyway, so it's nothing new to me. So I suppose what's different is how everything else is happening around and so on, and how different people and organizations are dealing with it. As Lisa said, there's obviously a lot of fear and worry and concern, and people not quite knowing what's going to happen over the next few weeks and months. And I think people are, from my conversations, I've had many conversations and messages, emails, talking to a lot of people in business and friends and family, and it just seems the different scales that you'd expect. Some people are positive and quite calm about it, others are just kind of muddling by and getting on as best they can, and there are others for whom this is something which is causing them significant stress and anxiety. They're very concerned about their it's kind of small business, or just started up, and just kind of really wondering what to do. And one of the big questions at the moment is, should I be marketing? Is it right to be selling right now? Would people want to be spending? And my answer to those people has been, well, really, that's a case of perhaps making assumptions about what's happening out there right now. And that's a dangerous thing to do, because we can't assume that there are not people out there who right at this moment are not ready to spend. So I think if there are people out there in, coaching and support services, counsellors, therapists, they're going to be in great demand right now. So they should definitely be letting people know about their services. And it's not about being, let's just jump on a bandwagon. And there are people out there taking advantage of the situation. You get that whenever there's something like this, but for most people, they're genuine people, honest people. They are professionals, they're specialists. They've got skills and knowledge to really help people at this time.
Yeah.
And for me, it's for those people to actually say, not, is it right to be marketing? I would say, ask yourself the question, do you not think it's your moral duty right now to be letting people know that you have services and support available to them? So for me, it's not necessarily a case of business as usual for everybody. But I think it is how can you stay in touch with your clients and customers and people? So the worst thing I think anybody can do is to stop completely and do nothing. I think you should be keeping in touch with your people. Mm. Acknowledge the situation. However, I do see a lot of emails with, coronavirus, et cetera, in the headline, in the subject line, and those are the ones that I ignore. So I think just I don't think you need to sort of overplay the thing. You might need to get out some information if you're a retailer and wanting to let people know about the change in how things are being delivered. But I think right now it's, what can you deliver that's positive? What can you offer people that gives them some reassurance, first of all, and also some certainty? So one of the things that I always say is that things will pass, even however bad it may feel or seem, this will pass. I'm not saying it's easy, and obviously there's been some, you know, bad stuff and so on, but that doesn't mean to say that there's not a lot of good stuff out there as well. And as I think we've spoken about before, we're seeing in times of crises and stress how people respond, and there's a lot of people out there, including NHS, and there's lots of volunteers and support networks and communities online doing fantastic stuff at the moment to make sure that people who perhaps are not in a place to help themselves as easily as others are getting help. So I think that's really encouraging.
I like that.
I would just, so there's a couple of things on what you've both said there that I just want to pick up on. And first of all, going back to what you were saying, Lisa, about businesses being very stressed at the moment because they just don't know what to do, where to turn to. They've got tough decisions to make. And this is by no means to pile on those people or anything like that. But I have been shocked at the lack of resilience and emergency preparedness planning that organizations have or have not been doing. And I come from an era, and where I've worked internationally, we worked in some pretty dodgy places. And so we always had, as part of the project level and business level resilience planning, a very robust emergency preparedness plan that would deal with things like, what happens if the project office gets attacked and everybody is dead? You know, and it's like, it's a bit like funeral planning. Nobody really wants to do it, but if you're an employer, you have a moral obligation to plan.
No, I just think you're right that I think for some of what's going on, it is almost like something out of the movie kind of stuff. And people know it could all happen at some point, but they never think it's going to happen to them, or it's never going to happen to the UK, or they just don't necessarily have the sort of mind that kind of helps them to work out the almost like the worst of a situation to be able to plan for it if it ever did happen. And it's even highlighted for me at the workshop, if we had to close the workshop down, it's like, how would we do that? Have we got a shutdown plan? They've never ever planned for it. So actually my learning from it as a manager now is, how could we do it? Like, we don't have any intention of doing it right now because we've got key services. But if it was ever forced on us, like it has been, pubs, restaurants, that sort of stuff at this time, it's like, how would we do that? Like, how do I turn the water off? How do I, the sort of complete listing, really. So there's probably been a big learning curve for me from the workshop. But I think on this occasion as well, for those that have never thought about that planning, it's all happened so quickly. Literally, like one day we're talking about the next thing, it's hit the UK and the announcements are coming out and you've got to do this and you need to do that. And yeah, I think everyone's had to be very reactive, and that's probably made it seem more stressful because they're reacting to everything the last couple of weeks. I think for some of them this week might feel a little bit easier because they're set up how they're going to be for the next few weeks at least. Who knows? We don't know when it's going to end yet. But I think for those that have set up at home and stuff and now they're sort of thinking, okay, this is working for now, we're making it work, it's going to get a bit easier in the next couple of weeks. I think the pressure's on for those that aren't working or they've had to furlough their workforce and they're having to do more themselves a bit to keep things ticking over. It's just all so different for everybody. I think that's...
I think part of the challenge some organisations have had, is that normally with emergency preparedness plans, you're looking at singular catastrophic events. Whereas with this, it was almost like it was a gradual creep up. And, you know, the government's reaction has been really good. But if there's one thing I think that they should take forward from this, is that when you're making announcements that affect large parts of the community, whether it be business or individuals, you need to be very clear and decisive when you make that announcement. As in, you need to have, right, this is what it means. This is the detail. Rather than just making a statement and saying the detail will come out in the next couple of days. Because it's almost easier to deal with a one-off catastrophic event for a business than it is to be sitting there thinking, right, well, the government has said this. Does it affect me? Does it not affect me? What do I need to do? When's this going to come in exactly? What's it going to mean? Makes it almost impossible with respect to those businesses. But I've had a number of inquiries this week alone about going forward and wanting organizations wanting to do some robust emergency preparedness planning. And hopefully I can encourage them to then build that into their resilience planning, because it needs to run hand in hand with their people development and their organizational development in terms of growth planning and all that sort of thing. Because one of the things with these sorts of crises, and I'm a bit disappointed that we didn't learn this from the 2008 financial crash, is that at times like this, cash is king. And you really need to always have an eye on your cash flow. And you always need to have an emergency cash buffer if you can. Now, that's not always easy, because some businesses are very much hand to mouth. But that's not a sustainable model. As soon as any pressure comes on, those organizations start to creak very, very early. So I think there's an awful lot of opportunity here to look at what's happened and learn some lessons. I just really hope we do, and my intention is to work with organizations to make sure that they do. But just getting onto what you were saying, Gary, about marketing and should organizations be marketing? Absolutely. There's no reason why they shouldn't, because the world is still turning. And, you know, there will be an end to this. I'm not sure it's going to be one great sort of re-emerging into the daylight sort of event, you know, on the 1st of July or whatever. I think it might be a little bit slower for some sectors. But at the end of the day, society needs to get back up and running. And as we talked about earlier, my hope is that we value things a little bit differently going forward. But nonetheless, organizations still need to market. And at the end of the day, marketing is a form of communication. You're not sticking somebody's arm up behind their back telling them that they have to spend money or anything like that. At the end of the day, that's an individual person or organization's decision based on their situation at that time. But yeah, there's absolutely no reason why people shouldn't be marketing. What I would prefer to see is less, as you said, Gary, less emphasis on, oh, we're marketing something for because of COVID-19, that actually a more values-based marketing where organizations actually use this time to start figuring out what they truly are about and understanding why they are, going back to one of our previous casts, why they are, and maybe starting to look at their marketing strategies to do that, because one of my hopes is that going forward, people, when they are consuming, so whether they're an individual consumer or a business, when they're deciding who to buy from and who to do business with, will look at some of the behaviors exhibited by organizations during this time of stress. Yeah. And there's been some amazing organizations that out there that have done amazing things. And they are organizations that I intend to deal with. I'm currently reevaluating my whole supply chain based on behaviors that have been exhibited and you know what their general behavior has been in this crisis, because I want to do business with organizations who have a very positive and empathetic approach to society and understand their place in society, and were able to demonstrate resilience and adaptation during this, because they're the sorts of suppliers that I can build long-lasting relationships with. So to answer your question, Gary, absolutely organizations should be marketing. And my hope is that they just think of it slightly differently.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to change it for the workshop, because before all of this kicked off a few weeks ago, it was all about advertising the spaces that we've got available. So at the moment, none of that's viable. The desks aren't open. We're not having visitors in. So we're not doing viewings of offices, any of that at the moment. So for me, our social media platform has been much more now about providing information to people. So anything that I see as a useful link, for especially if it's anything local to Folkestone, I'm using our platform to share that. So whether it's links to help available, stuff that they need to be mindful of, there is a few ideas we've got coming up for next week to be able to kind of highlight bits of the workshop, but in a informative way rather than a sales approach. And I suppose that's helping me to start building on what we want to be seen as the workshop, what our values are going to be. We've also been getting lots of stuff in from tenants, so it's about starting to share some old stories that we've done of tenants as well, to keep them going, because hopefully they're all still going to have businesses at the end of this. So anything we can share out about the tenants in the building. And in my mind, it's kind of share that out. People still get to see what's going on at the workshop. It still gets the workshop in front of people, even at a time where we're not officially open to the outside world. And that all seems to be getting quite positive feedback at the minute. So that's what we'll continue to use ours for the foreseeable. Because at some point, things will start going back to normal, and then we will need to push on and see what we can do to fill gaps at the workshop. But it'll be interesting to see how people move with that, with the changes. So
yeah, I mean, it's quite important for organizations when we do start to pull out of this, the success or otherwise of how effectively we do recover will be based on the robustness of our organizations and our ability to get back people back to work and start to get commerce and business moving again. And so, you know, people absolutely shouldn't take their mind off the fact that, you know, this is a temporary situation, and yes, there's great opportunities to learn, and at the end of the day, we need to have an eye on you know, the next stages, because it is very easy at the moment to become very focused and centered and a little bit blinkered about what's going on immediately, and I think we need to, you know, we need to be ready to go again.
I think also, as well as the marketing, even if people are easing back a little on that, it is also a great time to be, you know, seeding things and creating content, mapping out campaigns for later down the line. So I think even if people aren't doing as much selling and marketing, they can still be creating useful content for later down the line. So that's another thing that I've been advising, particularly the sole traders and the one person bands, and smaller businesses, that they can use this time to create stuff. You know, it's a great time for somebody if they had a book in mind, or, you know, they want to create some lead magnets, or they want to think about an email sequence. You know, this is the time when you can start thinking about that. I was thinking of starting a blog. Great, go and start one. Video blog, great, start one. Start thinking about how you can practice on camera, for example. So there's many things that people can do. And again, even if you're just doing a little bit now, that's good. A little bit regularly is good. That consistency is good, because people get to see your stuff regularly, and then when they are ready to come back and start thinking about these things, you know, you're the person or organization who's going to be in their mind first. You know, so one of the things I've been doing is, you know, I've been still emailing my list, I've been sharing content, I've created a special what I've called the fast show, which is just a very simple 4-point piece of content. So there's, you know, I share a TED talk or a funny video or a story, just so that it, you know, something to, if people just want to have a bit of a break. But also I'm doing a what I call Story Sunday for an online business community. So each Sunday they're now getting a story based piece which has a kind of lesson hopefully they can take from it. But that's still, for me, I'm sharing content, but it's also good for me because people see that, oh, Gary does this stuff around story and business. So when they're ready, it's just seeded in their minds.
And how can people access some of that content that you're producing, Gary?
So for most of that is going through my email list. So if people sign up via my website at garyspinks.com, they can do that. One of the groups that I'm doing the Sunday story for, that's a private group. However, some of that content, again, I'll be sharing through emails and probably blogs as well. So, or they can just get in touch with me if people, you know, want to know how to access some of this stuff or stuff that other people are putting out there as well. Because what I've noticed is that quite a few of the trainers and marketers I know are sharing, you know, some courses right now that are free. So there's actually quite a lot of good resources out there available for people if they kind of look out for it. So if they, you know, if they're interested in things, there are some things out there which are quite good, you know, particularly if people are looking to set up webinars and online meetings, if they need to understand how to do Zoom and Teams, there's a lot of training being offered out there now.
Yeah, and it is a really good opportunity for individuals to maybe do a bit of retraining as well. You know, it's people are spending a lot of time with themselves at the moment, and I hope, you know, this is like, I know it's very easy to get doomy and gloomy about it all, but this is a real opportunity, and one of the things I love to try and encourage people and inspire people to do is always, you know, ask yourself questions, be self-aware in terms of, you know, maybe I'm sitting at home because I'm furloughed or whatever. Was I really happy at work? Is that what I want to do for the rest of my life? Did I feel valued by the organization I worked for? What am I going to do differently? And this is a real opportunity to think about these things and look for maybe a positive change of direction, because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to get to the end of your days and look back over your whole lifetime and go, oh, I was absolutely miserable there. You know, sometimes these things are a great opportunity to think about these things. And there's lots and lots of opportunity out there. There's more opportunity out there now than there ever has been at any other time in human history.
Yeah, and there's lots of people that are doing a lot of free training as well. Yeah, there's quite a few sites that are offering free courses and almost on the marketing side. So ZC Social Media is a really good one. They're offering lots of webinars. So they're not selling what they do, but they're using the opportunity to share their knowledge through lots of different webinars that they're doing and Facebook Live events and things like that. So anyone that is interested in marketing thinks, actually, that's a bit of a skill that I could do with learning a bit more about, then people like that, it's worth looking at their sites and seeing what they're offering. If nothing else, it fills the time. It's, yeah, when you're there all day at home, maybe it's, yeah, it's just something for yourself as well. But I watched a couple last week and it was really useful, and they're not always for very long, so it doesn't take loads of time. But yeah, if you can upskill yourself, or like you say, even just learn something totally new. I know there's a lot of people that are using the opportunity to learn new skills And at the moment, you've got people doing everything from fitness to singing lessons to, social media stuff, all sorts of trainings available.
There's also lots of virtual tours now of museums and galleries and other place of interest. Yeah, there's zoo cams. So I was watching some pandas the other day. So they just had, and some penguins the other day. Really fascinating. I think in the past 6 weeks, I've read 6 or 7 books. I've watched 5 series of TV drama, Last Tango in Halifax. Really great drama. But for me, I'm although it's entertainment, I'm also learning about story because it's beautifully written, beautifully acted. So it's a great way for me to digest something that's uplifting, but also at the same time, I am picking up something from that. So I think, my job requires me to have a real interest in many, many different things. So for me, this is fantastic in some ways. I have a lot of challenges like everybody else with different things, but in terms of that, I just soak it all up.
I mean, I appreciate that some of our listeners, it's not so easy because they're not necessarily on their own. They may have young children hanging off them and stuff like that.
Of course.
But like, just on that, one of the nicest experiences I've had over the last week. So I've ended up doing a lot of meetings over Zoom or Skype and various other platforms.
Yeah.
And you actually start to, it didn't come as a shock to me, but it sort of gave me pause for thought to think that all of a sudden you're in people's homes and you're maybe having a meeting with a client or something and you hear one of their children in the background. And I think that's a really great thing because if for no other reason, it just reminds us that, hey, we're all human. We've all got lives outside of what we would have understood to be traditional work. We've got families and small children and everything else. And just something to think about with that when you're dealing with clients and stuff, and you may be so easy to sort of depersonalize things that actually I think it's really refreshing to hear that people have whole lives that go on that you never normally get to hear or see. And so that's been great. I know some people have struggled with it a little bit because it can disrupt the continuity of a meeting a bit. But for God's sake, people, come on. We can work around these things. It's not all doom and gloom, At the end of the day, if you get an interjection from a 4-year-old in the middle of a meeting, sometimes it can be helpful.
Sometimes it could be the most sense that's said in the room.
Absolutely.
I think you've just got to make the most of all the situations we're currently in as well. If you end up with your youngster sat on your lap, we'll just let it happen because actually it can be harder to try and get them to not be there than it is just to let them sit there and join in with whatever. It's just making the most of it and being able to do what we can at a time like this. I think I felt pretty useless at some points last week at the workshop because although I was busy getting on with stuff compared to what other people were going through, it was, it almost felt trivial. But it all kind of had a bit of a change around by the end of the week. So, whereas now I think I've just got to change it. It is my changing my mindset about why I'm there and what I'm doing for people. And some of the emails I had back last week was just, people are just glad that somebody's reaching them out still, sort of. Yeah, and that someone's in contact and they're not quite on their own like they thought they were the week before. So that's all been a positive.
Look, at no point do we want to try and downplay any one individual's circumstances or business's circumstances. There's some serious stuff going on at the moment. Yeah. And, we're cognizant of that as much as anybody else. But I guess for me anyway, what I'm trying to put out there as much as I can is that, you know, there's real opportunity here. Life will go on. The world will continue to turn. And there's real opportunity for us to do things better. And, you know, we'll, in future casts, we'll get on to talking about culture. One of the things, it's actually, again, shocked me, but not shocked me at the same time. So I've had a number of people, ex-colleagues and friends, etc., who are now currently working from home. And it's amazing the lengths that their organizations will go through to make sure that they're working from home. Everything from all meetings, you have to have your webcam on, irrespective of the fact that it kills bandwidth. I know some organizations are logging the number of emails that are sent. You know, they're able to log the amount of time that you're logged into the system. And for me, it's exposed some really harsh realities around trust and around effectiveness. And again, I encourage people to think about that. If you're currently working for an organization and you suddenly feel that they don't trust me, I implore you to think about what that means for you in the longer term, because it shouldn't be like that. And again, to organizations, if you feel that you're having to put these measures in place because you can't trust your workforce, something is fundamentally wrong there. Because if you can't trust them, how can you trust them on a daily basis when they're in the office to make the right decisions or to use creative problem solving to deal with issues? How can you trust them to individually give the best level of service for your customers if you can't trust that they can't be effective working at home because they haven't got dressed, they're still in their gym jams or whatever? It's interesting. Again, back to the whole human behavior, but also organizational behavior. And organizations are just collections of humans at the end of the day. It's been interesting to me, and is interesting to me, how things like trust and stuff like that are being handled and exposed. Incredible. But on a positive, because we, you know, there's always a positive to everything. I genuinely hope that we as a society use this as an opportunity to reset and maybe reconsider some of the things that we value. The applause for the NHS Thursday night was very interesting. I mean, it was great, and it was quite an uplifting experience. But at the same time, as I've put out on social media a few times over the last couple of weeks, you know, 6 months ago, we didn't care that there was nurses having to use food banks to survive.
No.
We were more interested in Brexit. And, you know, it must be a little bit frustrating for frontline NHS staff. All of a sudden, there's this newfound interest and love in them. And the cynical mind has to think, you know, when this is all over and people are able to get back to doing what they want to do, will all this be forgotten? And I really hope it won't. I really hope it won't.
Yeah, but maybe this is a weird thing, isn't it, with something like this? Maybe something like this happening kind of makes us all stop for a bit and have the chance to think about all of that and work out what is really important.
I guess, like with anything else, you'll have the people who will think about it, the people who'll think about thinking about it, and the people who won't care.
Yeah.
Because they maybe don't have the self-awareness to think about these things. And that's the truth. Interestingly, I was listening to a guy called Mario Rosenstock. He's a comedian and impersonator in Ireland. He's very well known over there. And he was saying it's going to be very, very difficult now going forward for any government to turn around and say there's no magic money tree when, you know, the NHS needs funds or education needs funds, or we need to, you know, do something about the homelessness issue. It's going to be very difficult now for any government to turn around and say, you know, where's the money going to come from? Because we've literally proven that when it's needed, it can be found. Now, it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out over the next 5 or 10 years in terms of where the squeeze will come to repay all this money. But it just shows that when a problem needs to be solved, money is no object. And it's not even a question of quantitative easing or anything like that. It's literally central banks basically pumping money straight into people's pockets. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see where we go.
Yeah, I think we've heard all this, you know, because obviously there's theory and all this modelling going on, you know, but until you actually see human behaviour in action when under pressure, extreme pressure, you know, all of that really is just theory until you actually see what's happening. So, yeah, there will hopefully be some lessons learned from this. I mean, it's a bit like when you go on the airplane, if you can remember doing that, when they do the safety thing and they show you the oxygen mask and how to put that on, and they show you how to put your life vest on. But that's in a calm airplane. You know, if something really did happen, you know, it's not going to be so calm. So theory is great and training is great. But yeah, you can't really know exactly how people will react. And I think that's, you know, toilet rolls is just one of those extreme versions of that, but also just the panic buying in general, which has created stress for, you know, those people who, you know, can't get online. So, for example, I've not been able to register my mum with Sainsbury's, even though they do the priority. And it's like, you know, 3-week waiting list. So I've managed to, through another source, to get access to some, you know, delivery service. But also even things like, you know, everybody jumping on, you know, Netflix and things like that now, that's putting pressure on the internet service. And then, of course, there's more people working from home. So they're going to be inconvenienced because they're going to lose quality of performance. So in terms of infrastructure, you know, hopefully people will realise that, you know, we need actually to have this, you know, nationwide internet and broadband sorted. You know, we need to be ready for this, you know, tech world and online world that, you know, it was already a trend, but this has just accelerated everything.
So that's it, folks, for another week. Thank you for listening. I really encourage you to check out Gary's website, garyspinks.com. Because he's got all sorts of very helpful and entertaining content on there. And also check out Lisa at the workshop Folkestone. You can also avail yourself of our content on championconsultants.uk. Check us out on Facebook, Campion Consultants. We've got all sorts of interesting interviews and events and other content that will be available coming up over the next few weeks. Most importantly, folks, please look after yourselves, take care, make sure you maintain that social distancing, look out for your loved ones, and we'll catch you very, very soon. They never second guessed, they didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission, listen, it's beyond description. We don't wanna fit in if we're living in a contradiction. We need a brand of passion that you can't imagine. Don't hesitate, rub the lamp, Aladdin.